In Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13, many of us are familiar with this group of scripture, only in the translation of KJV, let's be honest, it's the Lord's Prayer. But I'd like to read it in the NLT version. It says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. As many of you are familiar with the KJV version, it says, deliver us from evil. The word rescue is a word that many of us are familiar with in the sense of an emergency. Sadly, some of us don't realize the emergency that we're in. And I think that needs to be the eyes opened moment for many of us in this room. We kind of negate the need of rescue, the idea of I don't need help, I can do this all on my own. And so there's a lot of misconception of the word rescue. Some of us are not even aware of the evil that's around us. We've kind of become complacent. Too familiar maybe with evil, and therefore we just look at everyone going, oh, I don't need rescued. This is how I swim. I don't know if you've ever been a lifeguard. I've never been a lifeguard, but I was a camp counselor, and there was many times I jumped into the pool to save a child, and they would look at me and be like, I was fine. That's just how I swim. I'm like, kid, you need to go to swimming lessons. The doggy paddle don't work for you no more. All of that to say, many of us, we need rescued, and we don't even know what that looks like. I told you that I was in California this past week, and we were running a trail. And the trail was a point A to point B trail. And I don't know, it was about mile two that I go, this is dumb, right? And we were running 24 miles, and I thought, this is dumb. What if something happens, right? Like, what? Who's going to save me? And that was that moment. I looked at my wife and I thought, can she carry me? No, she cannot. Jeff Lau was with us, and so I thought he could do it. He could carry me. He's got my back. But then I thought, he doesn't want to carry me either. There's who wants to carry dead weight for miles upon miles in the backcountry? So all of that to say, some of us, you think that you might be too far in the backcountry and that you're not able to be rescued. But guess what? It doesn't really matter where you are. Our God can rescue. Our God can rescue you. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how far gone or how deep you are. God calls out into that deep and calls your name and calls you out. And so I think that needs to be that revelation moment for all of us of, I don't care who you are, God loves you. God wants to see you, and he wants to see you as he wants you to see yourself as he sees you. And too often there's this break of, I'm fine, who am I? And we come across individuals within the world that let's be frank. Let's be real honest, because I talked about it 2 weeks ago, the need to turn off our phones. I mean, the average human's spending 2.5 hours in social media a day. If that's the average, imagine the extreme, right? How many people are spending 10 and 20? If you guys like, I'd like to see one of your cell phones right now, if you'd be willing. Let's look at your hours. Anybody want to give me your phone, and let's just show everybody how many hours you spend on it? See, nobody wants to do that. I was at a youth conference one time where a pastor actually asked the kids to come up, and he took their phones. One kid was on there for 18 hours. I was like, when do you sleep? When do you sleep? 18 hours. I was like, right? So all of us were spending a lot of time doing these things in the world, more time in the world than we are in the Word. So then what happens is that there becomes like a glaze or a haze of what we would view as of sin, of being in the world, and we need rescued. And so we just like, no, I'm doing great. I love Jesus, you know, and it's like, I know you love Jesus and saved you are, but the question is, are you living a saved life? Are you living by his promises? Are you living in his word? When issues arise that are greater and more, you know, obviously cumbersome that you were prepared for, that's when you're like, oh, now I need rescued. And it's like, no, you might need rescued right now because this is just the edge of more to come. And you need to be aware of it. Go, whoa, I don't want this in my life. You know, some of us, you just think that it's no easy, you know. It's like too easy of a process of falling into sin and falling into a ditch where you need rescued. But let's not slide into the ditch. Let's not just fall into the ditch. Let's acknowledge the ditch from a distance and just stay away from it. Right? Right? Like, let's know what the Word of God says and go, no, I don't want to be a part of that. No, thanks. Like, be bold in your faith, bold in your understanding of God's Word, and be like, no, I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be associated with this. So all that to say is, let's be rescued. Let's be rescued. So, you know, when I say the word rescued and I talk about the Word of God easily, you guys will be like, Moses, Israelites, Red Sea. That's pretty easy, right? Daniel, lion's den, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? You can name all of these different rescue plans. But let's go to the ultimate rescue plan. Let's go to the rescue plan where God sent his son, the ultimate rescue plan. In John chapter 3, 13 through 21, Jesus is responding to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And now Nicodemus obviously had seen Jesus from a distance, watching and observing, and acknowledged the fact of, oh my gosh, this is the Savior. Nicodemus knew it, but he was embarrassed, so he visited Jesus at nighttime. And in a few questions to Jesus, Jesus' response about being born again and having the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to give you a new birth, it just revolutionized Nicodemus' thinking, I'm sure, because he was like, hold on, how can I be born again? How is this possible? But Jesus gives a great explanation, and I think it helps all of us to hear it from him, the understanding of the rescue plan. So in John chapter 3, verse 13, it says, no one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Let me pause there if you're unfamiliar with that story. Everyone was, let's just call the Israelites not smart. They were all just always... they are the epitome of needing rescued, but not knowing they need rescued. And then when they need rescued, they just complain about it versus they go, oh, I've got a father who loves us and wants to provide. And so they just keep complaining. It's ridiculous. Anyway, they're getting bit by snakes. And so just the whole story is wild, okay? But there was a moment where Moses had to put up that bronze snake. And in doing so, they had to look upon the snake. It's a whole process, but it is a type and shadow of what was to come of Jesus Christ being on that cross, on that pole for our sake. And when we look upon that pole, it changes everything. So verse 15 says, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Okay, so let me say in verse 14 again. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. I don't know how more plain and perfect that could be. The knowing and the understanding that we have a Savior. Now, sadly, as we've already read before over the summer when we were studying the Holy Spirit, there is a behavior. Let's label it like that. There is a behavior that some people will exude that is in defiance to the Holy Spirit. They make fun of it because they do not know the Holy Spirit. They do not know and understand why Jesus came. And it's to get God out of heaven and into us. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit comes in as Jesus is telling Nicodemus. That's the rebirth moment. That because of Jesus being on that cross, that is our rescue plan so that the Holy Spirit can come and live and dwell inside of us so that the Holy Spirit perfects those things and goes into the nooks and crannies and says, hey, you don't need to do this. But sadly, the world will mock this because they don't even understand. They don't get it, so therefore they want to just fight and you want to argue, and that's where you get wrong, and that's where it all kind of falls apart. And so that's why I'd like to say this statement. If you're a follower of Christ, remember that you don't have to debate the word with someone who doesn't believe. Often we feel like we've got to defend the Holy Spirit, that we have to defend God. God's pretty big. I don't think we have to defend him. But instead, we should tell them the story of rescue, the story that you have. That what is that story? That itself is powerful. I mean, powerful, because I am a firm believer that deep down, every person longs to be rescued. They just don't realize it. They just don't know it. I was climbing Mount Whitney. It was the lower. It's the lower 48's largest peak, and it's in California. And this was years and years ago. And I was climbing up the face of it, and sure enough, there was this young hiker. And I'm gonna be real honest with you guys. Like, you're gonna be like, "Oh, Josh, you're a pastor, and you're so sweet." And I'm not. Like, when I'm hiking, I literally am like, "Get me in, get me out." I don't share my food. I don't share things. Anna, matter of fact, she drinks water like a fish. I'm more like a camel. But out of nowhere, I had this pack with water, and she leans over and starts like sucking out of my water bottle, and I was like, that's my water. Like, I pushed her away. Like, I'm pretty selfish about those things. I'm like, whoa. She goes, "You're not gonna drink it." But what if I needed to? Like, so years ago when I was hiking Mount Whitney, I saw a young man. He must have had a day pass. You should. I mean, you can hike Mount Whitney in one day, but it is not an easy feat. And elevation sickness is real. And so he zipped by me, and I was just like, I mean, am I a moron? Like, that's just what I thought. I thought, what is this kid? Young 20-something just zipping by, and I was like, well, good for him. And then I caught up to him, and he was sitting on a rock. And courtesy, "You doing good?" "Yeah, I'm okay." He's like, "All right." And I kept going. But when I was done hiking and we were coming back down, sure enough, he was still on that rock. And his eyeballs were a little bigger than they should be. And he didn't know where he was. He was the word discombobulated. And so, I'll be honest, I didn't help. The other people that were with me were all over him. They were like, "Oh, we got to get you off this mountain." He had become obviously sick with elevation. He didn't know where he was at. He was doing things out of his mouth. And I'm just being nice for you this morning, for those weak stomachs. But things were happening, and I was just standing there, and in my head, I was like, moron. I know that seems really mean, but I'm just being really, real frank and honest with all of you. But reflecting on it now and paralleling it to the Christian walk into the world, that's what a lot of people end up doing. They go, 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 go. There's selfish ambition without any type of prep and understanding of what the Lord has actually purposed for them in their own life. So they just go, you know, blazing a trail, and they just go running up. And before you know it, they're like, wasn't prepared for this. And then all of a sudden, elevation sickness comes in, and they didn't have the right things and the tools and all the stuff. And before you know it, they're sitting on a rock, and they're just going, what am I going to do? I'm all alone, and I'm you know, and the eyeballs literally were like sticking out of his head because his brain was swelling. That's what elevation sickness does. And so obviously the only rescue plan for someone who's dealing with elevation sickness is to take them out of elevation. You've got to walk them down the path back out. And so that's where we as Christians, we've been called to do it. It's not time to sit there and look at that kid and go, hey, don't you know John 3:16? Hey, don't you know what the Word of God says? You guys get what I'm getting at? Didn't you bring your medicine? Didn't you know better to do this? You only brought a single water bottle? Do you not realize how many miles this is and what you're getting into? You didn't wear a long sleeve shirt and you got a t-shirt on and it's snowing right now? That's all true, by the way. Like, that doesn't help. So the rescue plan was to be like, let's just take him down. Not shame him, right? Like, but it is the notion of like, hey, we've got to help these people. He didn't know. And that's the problem with the world. Honestly, guys, they don't know. I know this is a hard statement to say, but someone who is like in sin, like, I mean, think of all sin, right? But to be frank, like some people have this notion that, oh, they should know better. No, they don't know any better. Like, they're of the world. Nobody's telling them any different. So I'd like to tell you my own personal rescue story, which I hate. Because it's embarrassing. It's that naive thing. I'd love to tell you that I've got a picture-perfect life. Oh, yeah. I followed Jesus since I was a baby. No. I was a moron in college. There was things that I was like, oh, yeah, I can do these things. I can do this. I'm this, you know. And then you're like, how did I get here? Was it peer pressure? Was it just the world? I mean, yeah, I grew up with Jesus, and yes, I was baptized at an early age, and yes, this, and yes, that, but I've done a lot of things that I'm not proud of in any way, shape, or form. And I remember that moment of I was awakened to it all. And it was that, like, oh my gosh. Here I thought, oh, I'm good. As long as I do this, 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 and this. And it was all based upon works. How many of us compartmentalize like things within our lives based upon works? Well, if I do this, then this takes care of that. And it's like, no, it's not based upon works. So I myself found a rescue plan. And, you know, and it was that moment I was in church and I was 22 years old. I was 23 years old. And I remember that moment of like, I need to stop of my pride, my desires, my thoughts. And I remember going down front. I remember when I was done, I prayed, I was down there forever, tears coming out of my eyes. And you know, you kind of hope that someone's gonna come behind you, like one of your buddies, and you're gonna feel that hand on your shoulder. There was never a hand or a shoulder moment. So I'm just being real frank of all the feelings I felt. Like I was sitting there like, maybe one of my buddies will come down and pray with me. But I was like, no, I'm all alone. I'm on this myself. And I'm gonna do this. And I remember finishing like down at the altar, and I got up and I walked back, and my friends in the aisle, they were like, just standing there. And I was like, guys, like, I want you to know that I'm different now. And they were just like, like, to them, it was like, different in what way? I was like, I don't know, but I'm different. And I remember, you know, in their head, remember, I played Christian. I mean, I was a Christian, I guess. But you know, that question of like, everything else, do you think, by the way, I know that I'm not the only one in this room. This is a quiet church. For some reason, our church is quiet. I don't need you to say amen, and that's good, and ooh, yeah, I don't need all those. But I preach at a lot of places, and I get a whole lot more amens than this church. But I just want to let you know that. All of that to say is in those moments that I know that you've also felt those, like, I'm a Christian, I know Jesus, I love him, I got a cross tattoo, you know? I don't, but I'm just saying in general, like, you know, that idea. I know who Jesus is, because look, there's my faith. But I was in sin, and I was oblivious to it all. I was in sexual sin. I'd love to tell you I was a virgin. Love to tell you that I was a virgin, but I wasn't. And so, but I had this notion that, like, I didn't drink. Good for you. Like, that was, like, I had these other things that I would kind of, like, hold on to. Like, well, I don't do these things. But I was in sexual sin, and it was sad and embarrassing. It's embarrassing. But I didn't realize it because of the group I was with or the individuals or whomever you want to say. So it was that going to the front to say, Lord, I need to be more aware of boundaries and an understanding of what you have for me. I had elevation sickness. I didn't know anybody. I was discombobulated. I was literally like just kind of like, oh, this is what it is. And, you know, I needed someone to take me off the mountain and to say, hey, let's get you the proper tools and the proper direction and the proper way to do this. And you're gonna get to that peak. You're going to get to that moment you need to get to successfully when you put your life in the hands of God. And so that's my rescue plan. That's my personal rescue plan. A friend of mine gave me this book. Now, I know some of you are going to be like, what is he doing? This is one of my favorite books. I've had this book for many, many years. I got it at the same time. And I don't think that person knew to give me the book. Like, oh, Josh is going through something. I'd like to read you my book. It's called The Voice. I know some of you are thinking, this is a child's book. Maybe. Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Follow me, said the voice. It's a little man in a boat. He's fishing. And he says, huh? Follow me, said the voice. I did not want to listen. I love you, said the voice. A little confused. The voice, whoever it was very intrusive. Go away, I'm fishing. Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. I could feel it watching me. He's struggling to catch the fish. Eventually, I caught a fish. I was feeling very proud of myself. Munch, 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 munch. You're welcome, said the voice. Leave me alone, I replied. The voice was silent, but it didn't go away. I lay back to take a nap. Then, quite unexpectedly, my boat sprung a leak. What to do? I found the hole, and I plugged it with one of my toes. The voice was putting holes in my boat. Very angry. I yelled, voice, I do not appreciate you. It's funny how we want to blame God for a lot of things. Huff, huff, pant, pant. Stop behaving so badly, said the voice, and just follow me. Nana Abubu. The voice let out a long sigh. My boat began to leak again. At first, I refused to plug the hole. I thought, I'll show that voice how tough I am. I'll just go ahead and drown. Been there. Then I got scared. I didn't really want to drown. It took my whole leg to plug that hole. I could feel the fish tickling my foot in the water down below. Stupid fish, I thought. Everybody, let me say it again, everybody was picking on me. It's interesting, the goggles you can put on. I wanted to go home, but I couldn't reach my oars. I was stuck. I began to cry. Follow me, said the voice. Why won't you leave me alone? I asked. I was feeling very sorry for myself. I already told you, I love you, said the voice. Follow me. I can't. If I move, my boat will sink. Let it sink, said the voice. Let it sink, I asked. Don't you care about me? I'll drown. I'll become fish food. I can't swim. You won't have to swim. Just follow me, said the voice. I sat there wondering what to do. This seemed like an awfully dirty trick. How did I know I could trust the voice? There seemed to be no other option. So I pulled my toe out of the first hole, and immediately water began filling the boat. Better pull out your other leg out too. Recommend the voice, or the boat will drag you down with it. So I did. The cold water rushed in as the boat sank. I called out, "Help, voice, help me!" Open your eyes, said the voice. Follow me, said the voice. So I did. What if I told you that I read this book often? Because it's a reminder of how many times we've put our toe and our foot in the things that we do. And we feel so stuck. And you don't really acknowledge the power of letting go. When you let go, God comes in and just miraculously takes you. He takes hold of you. He mends you. Yeah, there's some uncomfortable moments because it's like, there's a revealing of things at times. But God comes in, he takes care of it. He takes care of it. Colossians 1:13, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Man. Psalm 91:9, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. There is no better group of scriptures for a believer to hold on to. Psalm 91. Some of you in this room, you may be not aware that you need rescue. Some of you in this room, you may go, nah, that's not me. I'm doing great. What you don't realize is you got a toe and a hole in your boat. And a big old hole's about to spring. And you need to have this a moment with God right now where it's, I need rescue. I don't care who you are in this room. If you've either experienced a rescue or you need a rescue. Some of you might be in between some things right now. You're like, man, I need rescue. I don't know a way out. And God's asking you to let go. God's telling you, let go, let go. It could be anything from a healing. It could be anything from needing forgiveness. It could be in sin right now. Some of you maybe just made some bad decisions. I get it. We've all made bad decisions. I'm so thankful that God takes those things and just kind of goes, and he just forgets it. He wipes it. Man, I'm so thankful for that. So thankful that my God doesn't sit there and remind me of those things. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Remember the enemy in Revelation, we have the knowledge that the scriptures tell us that he is the accuser of the brethren. When those moments come up where you sit there and you go, man, who am I? Oh gosh, you know, you're sitting on a couch and out of nowhere this horrible memory comes up of something that you just wish you never would have done, and you just have to sit there and you just shake your head, you know? And it's like, Lord, that's not me. That's not who I am anymore. Accuser of the brethren. It's just things that will come up. I know some of you deal with that. I deal with it regularly. Where I go, God, why did I do this? God, why didn't I do this? Why did I get stuck on that mountain? Why did I try to do it my way? Why was I trying to do things out of order to your order? And that's where I'm so thankful for the cross. I'm so thankful for the rescue plan. I want to open up this morning the altars. My prayer team, you guys can come on up. You don't have to go to a prayer team member if you just want to come up here and just kneel down. By all means, kneel down. That's totally fine. But if you want to come in agreement with somebody, like lock arms. I've locked arms with this man before. Love locking arms with him. That man over there, that fine-looking beard, I've locked arms with him. I love that man. This man is near and dear to me as well. He is a mentor of mine in my life, and I can't tell you enough how thankful I am of a God's strategic plan too often that this man has given me. And I just tell you that not to puff up these men and women up here, but just to tell you that it's good sometimes to lock arms with like-minded believers. But at the same time, if you're like, man, I just want to get down on my hands and my knees, then by all means, just get down on your hands and knees. For all of us in this room, the revelation that I want us to walk away from today is, do you need rescued? Are you even aware of some of the things you're in? Maybe you might not be aware of it. Maybe you're still in denial. Maybe you have your toe in your hole in the boat, and it's just a toe. And it's really not too bad. You just kind of gotten used to the toe in the hole in the boat. But let's acknowledge that you have a hole, and you put your toe in it. Let's get rescued now. So my takeaway for all of you today is to acknowledge, I need rescue. I need rescue. I need my Father in heaven. I can't do it without him. I can't imagine doing life without God in my life. I cannot imagine this. I'm here to tell you there is nothing better. And I'd like to leave you with this quote from Leonard Ravenhill. Because tonight we have prayer at the church. We try to always start the month off with Sunday night prayer. We have prayer tonight. Man, it's a good time. If you've never been out, you need to come out. Prayer on Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, is a good time. You need to be out here tonight. Leonard Ravenhill said this, daring delinquents will be damned if they are not delivered from the devil's dominion. What is hell to fear other than a God-anointed, prayer-powered church? How are we going to see generations in our community saved if we don't acknowledge that we need rescued ourselves? Let's not walk out of here with pride. Let's walk out of here in a posture and a position that we know we've been rescued. Then you won't have the need to debate scripture at work, to defend something that somebody's saying. You just share your rescue plan, because deep down inside, everyone needs rescued. I'm gonna ask the worship team to worship. We can dim the lights here just to give you some. Right now, wherever you are, I mean, you can stand and worship. You can kneel down in your seat. You can come to the front. But allow God to rescue you right where you are. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, this is your moment. Make that decision right now that you declare him as your Lord and personal Savior. If you don't know Jesus and you want to make him your Lord and Savior, I want you to come down, because I want you to confess this to man. We know, as we read in Romans chapter 10, that that's important. That we confess our sins and we make Jesus known. So I'd love for that to happen here this morning. If you don't know who Jesus is, come down right now. We'd love to pray with you.